B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Our good friend Adam Schefter, and he's brought to us by the Minimally Invasive Spine Institute at Rothman Orthopedics. Minimally invasive, maximally effective is rothmanspine.com. Good morning, Schefty.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Doing excellent, sir. Doing excellent. Eagles save their season with a win over the Giants. It's still probably all going to come down to the Week 16 matchup with the Redskins. But first things first, I have to ask you about some of the injuries. What have you heard about Alshon Jeffrey and Lane Johnson?
Well, it doesn't look good in Alshon. You saw it go down right away. It is a foot, and I would imagine that we're not going to see him again during the regular season. I have not heard a definitive word. I think that they were still getting more medical opinions, but we'll wait to see on that. And you saw Lane Johnson get leg whipped there. My guess would be he misses a little time. Tough guy. We'll see how soon he can get back.
All right. Schefty, the other thing is, I know we talked about this a little bit last week when it came to those third and fourth wide receivers on the roster. Eagles actually went into this game with only three active wide receivers after Nelson Agholor was not ready to go at game time. Do you see them adding anybody else? They added Mark and Michelle last week to the practice squad. Do you see them making any other acquisition, possibly again that Jordan Matthews fella?
You know, again, this is what you're down to at this point in the season. It's a difficult thing to do, right? Like, who are you going to go hire at this point in time? Who are you going to go trade for? You can't trade for anybody. You can't. There's nobody off the street that you're going to sign that's going to be able to really help out. It's a tough situation. It's not a simple thing. And we go from there. So, I think they're where they're at, and I think they have to rely on their tight ends and their running backs to catch passes, and the wide receivers are just not going to get it done.
Adam, the other part of this is we have seen the wide receiver position, the guys that have been on the field, struggle, whether that be Mac Hollins, whether that be Nelson Agholor, whether that even be, at times be Alshon Jeffrey. And then we see a guy like Greg Ward come out and show you that he wants to make a play. He's made some plays for this team. He made a great play towards the goal line to set up the game-winning touchdown in overtime. How often do you see it in the NFL where the politics really play into who's playing in terms of you've invested more in a second-round pick or a third-round pick or an offseason acquisition, and you're not really looking at the practice squad guys to come in and help you now?
Well, listen, I think that every time you've got different motives from different people, right? Like sometimes the front office has ideas and sometimes the coaching staff has ideas. And the best organizations are the ones that are on the same page. Inevitably, there's not always going to be agreement. Not always.
Sure.
Usually they're on the same page and you'd like to think that'll be the case.
What's the list? The other thing is a lot of people, and I'm surprised by this a little bit, the name Antonio Brown has started to pop up more and more. How do you see all that really playing out, if anything, this season and the next year?
Well, look, I don't anticipate that Antonio Brown's going to play football again this season. I mean, the NFL has got an ongoing investigation that they're clearly moving very slowly on and very deliberately on for a reason. Now, he would say that he's done nothing wrong and that he has not broken any laws and that he should be allowed to play right away, and his agent, Drew Rosenhaus, continues to maintain that he has interest from teams that he's going to have a chance to play. I don't see Antonio Brown playing the season, and I don't see the Eagles being one of those teams that would be interested in him based on their prior behavior. They've not gone after players who have been involved in those types of incidents. If they were to do that this time, it would go against what they've done in the past. That's not to say it can't happen, but they have not shown any tendencies to go after people who have been involved in off-the-field incidents like Antonio Brown. So, again, we'll see how that shakes out. But I don't believe we'll see Antonio Brown play football again this season.
All right, easy enough. Speaking with Adam Schefter from ESPN, the other story that came out on more national stage is what's going on with the Patriots right now, where supposedly they were filming the sidelines of a Bengals game, and it was supposed to be for a documentary. But, of course, anytime the Patriots are caught with a camera filming anything on a football field that's not in their own stadium, there's some issues. So what are you making right now of the latest with the Patriots?
Listen, they continue to insist. Look, let me say this. There are a lot of different vantage points and viewpoints to this, right? The Bengals believe that the Patriots were doing that, taping their coaches' signals. The Patriots insist, Bill Belichick openly, that they weren't doing that. Now, the team acknowledged that something happened in the statement on Monday night that it released. And what I guess it believes happened is that this video crew, which is an independent a film crew from Kraft Sports, not the Patriots organization, that was doing a feature on this advanced scout, was shooting this feature. And that they shot into the sidelines. The Bengals maintained that they were filming the signals. The Patriots insist they weren't, but they did admit that they were doing things that they shouldn't have. I think the bottom line is the tape is in the hands of the league, and the league gets to look at that tape and make a determination about whether anything unjust happened, right? And if it did, they'll discipline them. And if they don't, then they won't. So that's the deal.
Shefty, I was labeled a Scrooge yesterday after the Eagles won, and I came in here saying, I'm sorry, they're just a bad football team. And you were there up front and personal on Monday night. I really am interested in your observations looking at this Eagles team that you saw on Monday night up close and what you think is going on there.
Yeah, it was a very disappointing first half. I mean, they did not show a lot of energy, life, talent. And I think when you're playing for the division, you play like that, it's very disappointing to see a team play like that. And Boo Birds were out. And then they rallied in the second half, and they played better, and they did what they should have. And I don't think it's any great accomplishment to go beat a 2-11 New York Giants team to cling to your hopes of winning the division. And it doesn't really matter all that much how they played that night, right? They've got three games here to go win the division, to try to find a spark to turn this thing around. They haven't shown so far that they can do that. They just haven't.
Yeah.
Now, maybe down the stretch, the last three games, something will change, a light will go on. But I can't say that anybody who's watched the team has any reason to be optimistic that it will, right? I mean, have you seen anything that would tell you, boy, this team is ready to make an extended playoff push?
Not even a little bit.
Yeah.
No. So, they're playing to win the division. That means something. You never know. And I think that's the hope in sports, right? Like, you never know when all of a sudden, a team is going to get a little momentum going, a little mojo going, and start moving that forward. This team hasn't shown that it can do that so far. It just hasn't. Now, maybe something will change in the last 3 weeks.
Yeah. Besides the lack of energy, the life, the talent that you said, Shefty, was there one thing that you looked at and you kind of came away? Because I always have a tendency to do this when I go to any games. I come away saying, wow, that's different than I thought. Is there anything with the Eagles? Maybe it's Carson. Maybe it's something else that you thought, wow, that's not as good as I thought it was or better than you thought it was.
I guess I was surprised to watch that first half unfold and see the way they played. Now, again, It was a miserable night. It was wet and windy and sneaky cold, as I said to the guys on our set. Like, Ben was at 55 degrees. No, it wasn't 55 degrees. I'm telling you that right now. It was sneaky cold. But, rough conditions and they just didn't look good. They don't look like a winning team to me. They just don't look like a winning team so far. Now, again, three games to turn around, three games to win the East, three games to make a push, three games to try to get it right for the playoffs if they can make it that far. But what we've seen so far, they have not looked like a winning team.
Speaking with Adam Schefter, switch to NBA Adam now for a second, because Joel Embiid actually smiled on a basketball court for the first time since the second week of the season. People, he said after the game that his fun is being cut out. That makes you think that somebody else is telling him to calm it down a little bit, don't you think?
Fun is being cut out.
Yeah, what does that mean?
Well, again, I would ask Bob that question before me, but what I would say just from my perspective, from the outside, not knowing anything, is I would say that his antics were going on too much, I thought. Like, there was just too much non-basketball stuff for a while. And I'm all for him having fun. That's who he is, and he should have fun. But it should have been toned down a little bit. Now, I don't know who delivered that message or what that exact message was, but I guess my message to him, and I'm in no place to give him, it would have been something like, there's a time and a place for everything, and we want you to have fun, but let's make sure we do it at the right time. Like, pretty simple, right?
Easy enough. Yeah. Easy enough. And we believe he's moped since, but it was good to see him smile on the court for the first time in a while.
Who do we think said something, and what do we think that message was?
My thought was, Shefty, that Elton Brand, after he got into the fight with Karl Anthony Towns and then subsequently put a whole bunch of stuff on Twitter, I think Elton Brand went to him and said, look, that has to stop. It cost you an extra suspension, an extra game being suspended. And I think Embiid took it more of, oh, I'm not allowed to have fun anymore. I think he did the mopey kid thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, that wouldn't be a surprise, and that's a plausible explanation. But, I mean, he's got to understand that, again, there's a time and a place for that, right? There's a time and a place for whatever he wants to do, but let's make sure it's the right time and the right place.
Adam Schefter, always great catching up with you, my man. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, guys.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.